We were talking last week about the subject that a lot of Christians are afraid to talk about. A lot of Christians are embarrassed to talk about. A lot of Christians are judgmental to talk about. We talked about doubt. Hallelujah. Yeah, we hear so much about faith. If you're like me, I'm old enough to have went through the faith movement. It was a movement. It was interesting, to say the least. You know, it was a good thing to have survived. But during those days, we were taught to name, to claim, to blab, to grab, you know, whatever it was. And a lot of people got hurt because it just doesn't work that way. Amen? Positive thinking and positive professions, in that sense, does not work. There are times, now, if you've never been one of these people, never had this, well, God bless you, you can pray for me. But there are times, I believe, every single Christian I've ever spoken to have times of doubt. Sometimes it's a fleeting moment. Sometimes it's a fleeting month. Sometimes it's a lifetime. But we begin to doubt things, and you all know that doubt and faith just don't mix. So what do? We looked at Thomas last week. We looked at John last week, John the Baptist. And we found out that Jesus did not treat them like second-class citizens. Jesus did not mock them or say, "What's wrong with you? Where's your faith?" He taught them. He loved them. He brought them in and met the need that they had. We're going to talk a little bit more about Thomas there, but when John the Baptist's disciples came, they said, "Are you the one?" John, after all his trouble, all of his feats and stuff he did, he sent his disciples, Jesus, "Are you really the guy?" And what did he say? He says, "Go back and tell them what you've seen. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Go back and tell them the power that you've seen and let him make up his own mind." Now, he didn't say that last sentence, but I believe that was the inference of it all. Hallelujah. We know, or we should know, if you don't know, this is revelation. If you do, it's review. We need to know that faith pushes aside doubt. But when doubt exists, our faith has become weakened and sometimes crippled. Amen? Hebrews 11, I'm going to read this to you out of the New Living Translation. I've taken the advice of the late David Wilkerson. Whenever you read any translation, you read it side by side with the King James. I prefer the King James, but some things are a little easier to understand. Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes we think that faith is the great escape. We're just going to pray, we're going to believe in God, and we'll never have any trouble. Don't raise your hands, but I've been there, done that, and let me tell you something, it doesn't work. Hallelujah. I was under the impression, Brother Tom, that when I got saved, my kids were little. And I kind of figured because I was a Christian, they would never get in trouble, never give me a hard time. My God, was I wrong. Hallelujah. They were typical kids. And they were kids with a free will. We sometimes forget that our children have a free will. I kind of figured I'd never get sick. And until recently, that was true. Well, you know, you get older, the body starts slowing down, things don't work. You begin to get a different perspective on faith. Chapter 11 tells us about some people. I put the word "now" in there because I like it, and it's in the original, and I always remember hearing the evangelist of old saying, "Now faith." Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Let me just rest there for a half a second. During the week, I spent a lot of time in the school systems, and I am so sick of the secular humanism that I keep hearing. And people look at me and say, "Well, prove to me that there's a creator." I say, "Prove to me there's not." I know I got more proof on my side than they got on theirs. But it's by faith I understand that God said, "Let there be," and there is. I didn't say was. I said is. Do you understand that when God spoke it into existence, it's still the same? Many years ago, I had a chance to go down. I think the place was called Far Rockaway in Brooklyn. It's at the very edge. You go take another step, you're in the ocean. And I remember standing there. I was down there on business, but I was standing there waiting. And I kept watching the ocean. Did you ever watch the ocean? Something amazing about the ocean is it stays the same. And that ocean would roar in. There's a bunch of breakers. There's a kind of a violent type of thing there. And it would come just so far, and it would stop and roll back. And I must have stood there for 45 minutes to an hour, Brother Tom, just watching it in and out. But that morning, before I took that trip, I had read in the Scripture that God set the seas into boundaries. And I realized that the reason that ocean couldn't go any further, because in the beginning God said, that's your boundary. And if God can command, which He does, the boundaries, He's got enough power to control whatever happens in my life. Can someone say amen? Can you say amen and mean it? Verse 3, by faith we understand the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. I want you to go home and study that. I want you to read that stuff. Hallelujah. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed His approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. These are touching on a lot of the most beautiful, wonderful, powerful stories in the Bible. And the one commonality among them is a thing called faith. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. You're going to show you later that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 6. Hallelujah. It's right here in front of us, actually. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. I almost started with King James. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat, it's called the Ark, to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Think about this for a second. A voice comes to you and says, build a boat. Why? It's going to rain. What's rain? Read your Bible. It had never rained. Because the rivers are going to overflow. What's a river? It made no sense to do what God was asking. But because He did, you and I are sitting here today. Y'all can say thank you to Noah if you'd like. Verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land that God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Verse 10, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. I love this. A city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. Gentlemen, how would you like if your wife comes home and she's 90-some-odd years old from the doctors? Guess what, honey? We're pregnant. They all think about that. All your men go, oh, ladies feeling the same thing. For the sake of the tape, I don't know who's, what was the men or the women's. Oh, no, 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 no. Hallelujah. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep His promise. See, one of the problems we have with faith, many of us believe that God can keep His promise. Not many believe He will. Y'all think about that. And so a whole nation came from this one man who is as good as dead. I'm not even going to try to talk about that. Y'all men can figure that out. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore, there was no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. A man who used to be our pastor, I talked to him one day. He said, you know, brother, I've been praying for a revival for more than 30 years. So I may not see it before I go home to be with the Lord, but I know it's coming. See, that's faith. That's faith. Hallelujah. He had gone home to be the Lord, I think. I'm not sure. Verse 15, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place. Someone say better place. Hallelujah. There's this soundbite going on. I hear every election. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I'm better off now than I was 36 years ago, 34 years ago, 35, whatever. It's been a long time. 1978, you do the math. Hallelujah. They're looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. I'm not going to get into politics, but all them people that say that the Jews don't have a right to exist, they're in for a shock. They are in for a shock. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And here's why. Even though God had told him, Isaac is a son through whom your descendants will be counted, Abraham reasoned. Please don't tell me that Christians are supposed to be non-thinkers. I know a lot of them. Excuse me. I know a few who are. Hallelujah. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, you ever wonder why Abraham was willing to give up his son? I struggled with that one for a while until I read this. Abraham reasoned, if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. Hallelujah. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his life back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. Should take a breath once in a while. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed to worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for three months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child. Never mind. And they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. Every child is special. Yeah, we use the word all the time, special needs. Well, you know what? Every one of us has special needs. And thank God that God the Father meets those needs. Hallelujah. It was by faith that Moses' parents, I already said that. Verse 24, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, notice he couldn't have grown up unless his parents had hidden him. Just saying. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts that their angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were drowned. Hallelujah. There's good preaching in here, and I'm just using this to set a foundation. I like to preach on every line. Verse 30, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days. I will comment on this. If you read the scripture, you'll find that God told them, don't talk, just walk. Now, it took me a while, but I figured out why. If they were talking, Tom, if they were talking, Ron, they would have been talking about, I don't know, them walls look pretty big. You just see that chariot go around them walls? We can't do this. But God says, just walk and shut up. Amen? They didn't have a chance to talk them out of God's miracle. Praise God. He said, just, when I tell you to shout, shout, but until then, be quiet. They marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. God could have tore down the walls the first day, or the second, or the third. But he promised on the seventh, and on the seventh, Jericho fell. A little history in there. Verse 31, it was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, you can't say that word in church, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? He said a lot already. The next few verses I want you to see. There are times you pray, you believe, and you hang on, and it doesn't get better instantly. Those are times when doubt can come in. Those are times when you can begin to look at God and say, are you kidding me? There are times you'll do it under your breath, you won't do it aloud, and God understands it just like he did with Thomas and John the Baptist. You say, God, is this really your plan? God, are you really there? You question God. Now, most of us are too religious to admit that. But almost everyone I've ever met, I don't think I've ever found a person who at least at one moment or another didn't have a thought similar. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions and quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from death. I'm going to take a breath. We're on a roll right now. Look at all the great things. Look at the lion's den and the Hebrew children. But now the apostle takes a little bit of a turn. But others. Turn around, someone say, but others. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, find a copy. Read it prayerfully. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with the whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawn in half, and others were killed with the sword. It was not uncommon to be put inside of a hollow log, and the log cut in half while you were in it. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. Some of the people were put in sheep and goat skins, and then the wolves were set free on them, or the lions. They were too good for this world. Hallelujah. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground, all these people earned a good reputation because of their, some say it. Now, wait a minute. You have one group over here who overtook the world and overcame all kinds of stuff by faith. How can this group here have the same faith? They didn't get taken away from their torture. They didn't get delivered from everything. They had the faith. And here's a point of faith I want to make today before we close this little series. That in the bad times, in the hard times, even when it seems like God's not coming through, we are called upon to live by faith. Faith in the one who called us, the one who saved us, and the one who will keep us. It's not a matter did God get me out of, but did God get me through? Many times, faith has got the job, if you will. It's meant to bring us through a situation. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all. I love the kind of faith that when I pray, it happens instantly. Just love that kind of faith because I don't want any hard times. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be broken by God. I don't want to have trouble. I don't want any of that stuff. See, that's what was preached to me back in the 1970s. Just come to Jesus and Jesus will fix everything. Fix your marriage, your kids, fix your kitchen sink. You know, all that stuff. I've said it before. I was just thinking about this recently because we're getting close to Christmas again. I was in a store yesterday and seeing Christmas. I said, oh my God. Anyway, I got saved in June of 1978. And the way the gospel was presented unto me, Tish, I would never see another Christmas. Well, 35 of them Christmases have come and went. Hallelujah. But I got to say, I'm still anticipating the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just not, he's not coming on my timetable. Do you understand that in 35 years, we've raised 7 teenagers? Lord, you could have delivered me from that, but he didn't. Hallelujah, I've suffered the loss of my father. We've seen loved ones die. We've seen all that stuff. In my estimation, brother, I got saved. I should not have to go through any of that. How wrong I was. Hallelujah. But here's the problem, or could be problem, if we maintain a false belief that God is a genie in a bottle, you know, he's a Superman in a Bible, just rub the Bible and he pops out, what should I do for you? If we maintain that, and some people do, when we do have a problem, there is a possibility we're going to blame the one who's blameless. Now, don't raise your hands or look at your neighbor, especially your husbands and wives. But how many times have you at least been tempted to say, God, you let me down? We don't want to talk about that, do we? But there is a possibility if we have the wrong belief, if we have the wrong, excuse the word, doctrine, if we have the wrong teaching, we rubbed on our Bible, big old King James Version, and Jesus did not pop out and say, what do you want from me, Master? most likely he'll pop out and say, this is what I want from you servants. Did I actually say that? Hallelujah. These people in the latter part of Hebrews 11, they have been through some things. Some died by stoning. That's got nothing to do with weed. Yeah, y'all know where I came from. Some die of stoning. Hallelujah. I remember that there's an old movie. I haven't seen it reproduced. It was so bad they probably wouldn't. But it was a story of Saul of Tarsus, and we know him as Paul. And in one of the scenes, they were leaving a town. They had just been stoned. And he looks, and Barnabas, I think, was with him. And he says, well, we're going to the next town. This is a Hollywood version. And Paul says, yeah, we're going to the next town. And Barnabas says, well, let's hope the stones are softer in that town. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we have this silly mentality. Because I'm a Christian, hard times will never hit me. I have to tell you now, that is not true. But I will tell you, you do not ever have to face hard times alone. If your wife leaves you, if your husband leaves you, if your children turn on you, Jesus Christ is one who'll stay closer to you than a brother. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. But we can misjudge God and say, well, God must not be here because I can't make the mortgage payment this month. Hello. Going back, verse 6 of what we've just been reading, it's impossible. Someone say impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. I am all for education. If you can get a good education, get one. You know, if you want to study the Bible, go to Bible college. You want to be a nurse, be a nurse. Do the things. Do the best you can. But all of those things on the wall, you know, degrees. One preacher said you can have more degrees than a thermometer and still not be pleasing to God. All the degrees in the world doesn't please God. Faith does. Faith is simply believing God is, God will. Or as I say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah. I am not a debater. I'll argue with you. I lived down south, for all you may be able to tell. And down there, everyone wants to debate. You can't swing a dead cat in a circle while hitting a Baptist down there. And they're all, no, I don't say that in a bad way. They're all, I think the Pentecostal movement need to follow some of the Baptist things, like such as read the Word, study the Bible. These folks are theologians. I mean, you've been in church a year, you're a theologian down there. And they all want to debate. Especially about tongues and stuff like that. If you ever have a chance to tell a famous evangelist that speaking in tongues is of God and his refusal to speak in tongues may be of the devil, don't try it. I did it. You won't like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just walked out of his hotel room speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Anyone? Can you identify anyone? Anyone? Turn point to anybody in the room. That's an anyone. I'm an anyone. Anyone who wants to come to him. This is so simple, it blows my mind. Hallelujah. Must believe God exists. King James says you must believe he is. How can anybody, you got to help me with this, folks. People call themselves Christian. I can't judge that. God will. But I don't understand how we can claim to be Christian, how we can claim to love the Lord if we really don't believe he exists. You know, quite a few years ago, there was a study done of leaders of denominations, and only about 20-some-odd percent, high 20s, 27, 28% of them, believed in the Bible. They didn't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And it went on. It kept getting worse. And I kept thinking to myself, how in the world can you stand up and lead people to a God you don't believe in? How can you cause people to believe in the Word you don't believe is God's? I just never understood that. And that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I want to talk in this final section here about deciding to believe. I mentioned this last week. Hallelujah. There's an important principle that we need to deal with when we're doubting. Now, please don't raise your hands, but if you're doubting now, or have doubted in the past, you probably will doubt in the future. I want to talk to you about that for a moment. When the moment arises, right now, I don't know God. God bless you. That's wonderful. Put this away for present, for future reference. An important principle when dealing with honest with doubts is this: you have to make a conscience decision. Now, what that means, a decision you're aware of. You think it through. You make a decision to doubt your doubts and to believe your beliefs. Hallelujah. It's so simple, hard to do at the moment, but when you're doubting, doubt what you're doubting. I counsel, if you've ever sat with me for a few minutes for counsel, I always tell people the same thing. You need to think about your thinking. We allow things to go through the brain. We're not aware of what's going on. We don't question our thoughts, including our doubts. Why don't we just confront them? I don't know, you've been here a couple of times, but if you say something and I doubt what you're saying, I'm probably going to say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to question. If I got something in my mind that's other than the Word of God, one would ask, how would I know? One would answer, read it. If you're reading the Bible, it's really pretty simple. Duh, I didn't think about that. You cannot put the Bible under your pillow and wake up knowing Scripture. Doesn't work. Okay? If you got the Bible on tape, listen to it, but you still got to read it. But when you know what the Bible says, step one, when something comes into your thinking process, I got something to say, but it's going to come out like a wisecrack, so bear with me. We all think. Sometimes it's not obvious. But all of us think. Hallelujah. Most of the time, when you're riding down the road, even driving, your mind is on something. There's not just a void there. It may seem if you're cutting me off in traffic. We all think. We have a responsibility to guide what we're thinking. If my mind, and my mind runs 24 and a half hours a day, even when I sleep, I can't shut it off. Some of you have the same affliction. Blessing, whatever. I need to be aware. I usually find it in my feelings. If I start feeling negative, I need to be careful and say, okay, what am I thinking right now? I've said this to you before, and I want to say it again. I'll say it a lot more times before I die, that you've never had a feeling that didn't start with a thought. If you find yourself feeling negative, you got to stop yourself and say, what am I thinking? Chances are, there's a question, there's a doubt, there's a negative process going through your mind, and your body is picking up on it. I ask young people all the time, well, what are you feeling? I'm angry. Why? Because I am. What are you thinking? I'm thinking I'm mad. No, you're not. Back up. There's a little free counseling out there. Think about what you're thinking. Keep your mind with you at all times. If you got something going on and you're doubting God,
I wouldn't doubt God.
Okay, let me put it this way. Let's say it's 2 days or 15 days past the first of the month, and you haven't paid your mortgage yet. Chances are, you're going to have a mix of emotions, and in there someplace there's going to be a doubt that God's going to come through for you. Don't ask me how I know that. Hallelujah. We need to look at our doubts, Brother Tom, you know this. Look at the doubt and begin to doubt the validity of your doubts. Why would God not come through for me? Why would God not want to heal me? Oh, there may be some conditions there that God needs to deal with you about. You know, if you spent your whole mortgage on renting DVDs, chances are, you know, you got a problem you need to deal with. We need to begin to doubt the things we doubt. And with the same moment, believe what we really believe. That's the question. What do you believe? Do you believe God is able? You can raise your hands. You believe God's able to do anything? Absolutely anything, anytime. Hallelujah. But do you believe he can do it now? See, there's the difference between belief and faith. I remember hearing seeing a tape a long time ago, but it was Jack Coe. He was a preacher and evangelist back in the 1950s. One of the healing evangelists, okay? And he made a statement. And the preachers around him got so mad, but a newspaper came up and checked out the validity of what he said. He was right. He says, a lot of people preach about healing. But I pray for people all the time, I say, and 95% of the people I lay hands on get healed. The religious world said, oh, he must be a phony. The newspapers came and they checked everybody. They tracked them all down. 95% of the people, he knew what he believed. I can't explain the 5%, but I'm going to rejoice in the 95. Amen? When doubt comes into our mind, we got to make a decision. You know what? I'm not going to think about that. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about faith, saying that's not God's character. It's not God's character for my children to be out doing what they're doing and go to hell. That is not God's character. I want to believe God to save my whole household. Are you out there? We need to know what we believe. Again, where do we get that from? Same answer. Hallelujah. Read the Bible. In order to exercise our will in favor of God, I want you to think about that. We're exercising our will in favor of God. We're choosing to believe. In order to do that, it requires faith in the fact that God has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his scriptures. Are you out there? We have to know who it is we believe. Faith is not something. Brother Ron and his family is involved in the Boy Scouts. So I make reference to merit badges. You ain't know anything about the Scouts. You can earn these little badges and you put them on different parts of your scarf or whatever. And it shows what you've accomplished. Faith is not a merit badge. Faith is not something you earn, you pin on, say, look at me. I got faith. You got to write it next to tongues, interpretation. You know. Faith is something you have to have in somebody or in something. Faith we're talking about is having faith in God. Not that I'm able to believe it, but he's able to do it. Hallelujah. I really believe it's time for the church, every church member. I don't care what denomination or flavor you put on yourself. I think it's time for us to get back and say, who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? What's with about this thing about the Holy Spirit? I really think that if you and I would spend some time reading the Bible, talking to others, going to church, fellowshipping, you just might find that your opinion of God may raise a few notches. When someone tells me, it's called testifying. When someone tells me what God did, when I got that email the other day in my box about this woman sitting in church and was able to lay hands on the woman next to her who had died, my faith rose up. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want anybody sitting here to die. But if I'm going to sit any place to die, I think I'd rather be in the church. But I will tell you this. Be sure you know God's will before you try raising me from the dead. I've been waiting for 30 plus years to see Jesus face to face. Amen? Anybody ever hear of Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth was an interesting man back in the, 40s and 50s. And at one point, he was married several times. I can't get into that. But at one time, brother, his wife of the moment died. And he threw everyone out of the room, closed the door, began to lay hands on her and pray for her. And she came back from the dead. You know, the first thing she said was, why'd you do that? She was in the presence. So why'd you call me back? And they actually had a conversation. And he finds, okay, I release you. And she died and went home to be with Jesus. So if you see me dead, be 100% sure God wants me to come back. Amen? So that's, I'm just saying. Moving along. Hallelujah. At some point, you and I just might have doubts about Scripture. But we have to make a conscious decision. I cannot tell you, I'm not smart enough and educated enough to explain every Scripture in that Bible. But the ones I know, I follow. And the ones I don't understand yet, I follow them too. So I kind of figure it this way. If this part of it's true, this part must be also. I'm taking the whole thing. You may think that's foolish. I'm going to call it faith. Hallelujah. People say, well, I just don't know if that works. Let me give you a little piece of advice. If you're not sure that getting run over by a bus is going to hurt, just follow me out with this. You can choose to ask someone who's been hit by a bus, or you can throw yourself under the bus. You'll get the same, either way, the same intelligence, but one bit of knowledge will last longer because you'll be alive to tell somebody. Hallelujah. You don't have to live it all out. Hallelujah. If someone else got hit by a bus and they died, chances are Real good chances you will too. We need to make a decision. Hallelujah. You know, something I learned, and we all should know, I think we do, it's a thing called atrophy or atrophication. If you don't use a muscle, that muscle gets weak. It'll shrink in size. It shrinks in strength. If you can think for a moment as faith as a muscle, you can think of doubt as a muscle. Whichever muscle you exercise, be the one that grows strong and can lift and pull. And Brother R.W. White from down in Dafuniac Springs, Florida. If you're listening, brother, God bless you. I heard him explain it this way. He says, it's like having two big old dogs inside of you. He talked that way. He was from Florida. Two big old dogs. You got a big old black dog and a big old white dog. The one that's going to win the dog fight is the one you yell sick 'em to the most. If you're going to continue to doubt, doubt will grow. If you're going to continue to question God, questions will grow. But I guarantee you, if you begin to exercise faith in God, that's the part that will grow. Hallelujah. I also believe that every time you need your faith, it will be tested. But every time you need your faith, if you're using it, you'll be strong and be able to reach out to God. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Where do I want to go from there? Here's where I want to go. Psalms chapter 103. I won't read the whole thing, but I want to read the verse 17. Hallelujah. What happens when we doubt? Well, we all know, we've been told that, you know, the faith dries up and all that different stuff. Hallelujah. When we're dealing with disturbing doubts, which we all do, this is one of the promises I really want us all to believe. When things aren't going right, when, I don't know about you, I've went through a long period of my life, and I still fight it from time to time. When things are going bad, I get the impression God's punishing me. It's just part of my growth, my youth, and all that different stuff. And I have to learn not to take my experience and apply it to God. God does not give up loving me. David is a person who would know this. David, as has been said, was a rascal. David did almost anything wrong that you could think of. He's the one who went out and had an affair with Bathsheba. He's the one who had Bathsheba's husband killed. He did all kinds of bad things. But he also knew that the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children. Let me talk about this word for a minute. It translates respect, honor, worship. Perhaps some of us have been brought up through religion, through family, whatever, with an unhealthy fear. You know, oh my God, God's going to get me. Or maybe you were, I don't want to hurt you, but maybe you can really, maybe you grew up abused. And the responsible adults in your life didn't do what they were supposed to. They were abusive. Or maybe they just let you down. We preached one day about Mephibosheth, how he was dropped by his nanny. It wasn't his fault, but he was crippled for life. We have to keep in our minds that that's not the kind of fear we're talking about here. God does not want to walk in the room and have to go, oh, let's hide under the chair someplace, God's here. I think we will fall down, because that's what happened to John on the Isle of Patmos. But I don't believe it was out of fear. Not the kind of fear that comes from being hurt or abused. Those who respect him. You know, let me see if I can help you just for a moment before I move on. Even in the midst of doubts, usually there's a fear of God involved. Many, many years ago, a person we know, we figured out, we lived in Georgia. When we came back, we met with some people. And while we were gone, this one person we met with, who was related to the people we were ministering to, had a hard time with the Lord. We would call it backsliding. But they had come back. And we were meeting with them. And I asked this person, I said, what was it like when you were kind of like out there? And her answer surprised me. She says, brother, I've never been closer to God than when I was backslid. I said, you really got to help me with that. She says, because every day I look myself in the mirror and I'd hear the voice of God calling me back home. Every time I'd see anything that reminded me of God, I'd seen the sunshine, I'd seen the stars at night, I just kept getting pulled closer. I had to give up finally. I couldn't stand it. And it showed me that scriptures like this ring true, that even when we're doubting, I think I'm talking to someone here today, but when you're doubting, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you may be saying, God's love for you, God's caring, God's protection, God's want to be your all is still going, still running for those who fear Him. His salvation. We're going into your families now. God cares about my children when I'm sitting here. God cares about my grandchildren when I'm living with me. God cares about my great-grandchildren. Two of them are living with me. And no matter what we may feel, we see with our children, see with our families, God's love is still there. God's love for you and me when we're saying, I don't want to hear from God. Don't ever do that, by the way. Years and years ago, my wife and I went through, our family went through a really bad church split, and we were the victims, so to speak. And I was so angry and so hurt. I remember crying out to God, God, I don't want to hear your voice for 6 months. God answered that prayer. By the time that 6 months was over, Ron, I was like a raving lunatic. God, please speak to me. Be careful what you ask for. But during that 6 months, God still loved me. His salvation, His wholeness extends to His people. Hallelujah. One final thing I want to talk about. Hallelujah. Now I'll go back to something I skipped. There is something that happens, can happen, when we're doubting. We are not only intellectual beings, we are emotional. Think about that for a second. Some people have, we all have emotions, by the way. The only person that doesn't have emotions, we've already buried them. Every breathing being has emotions. Some have seem to have more than others. Some have a better way of handling. Some have a worse way of handling. We all have feelings. So that makes me human. That makes you godlike. We'll go on for another time for that. One of the things that can affect our faith, one of the things that can affect our belief system is our feelings, our emotions. Hallelujah. God created you to have emotions. But He never created the emotions to rule you. You know, many times, I have struggled with this sometimes. I've had people in the back tell me, in my past, George, you got cool wearing your heart in your sleeve. It took me a long time to figure out what the heck that meant. But what it meant is that all my emotions show. When I'm talking to someone, it's on my face. But I get in trouble all the time. People read my body language. My boss reads my body language, and I get in trouble. He gives me a hard time, and I don't even know why. Then it dawned on me. He looked at my face. We were in a meeting one day, and he looks at me and says, I guess I went too far. I can tell on George's face. Huh? Ever since then, all my coworkers look at me every time something is said that's different. Anyway, hallelujah. Sometimes we are counseled to address an emotional problem with an intellectual answer. That doesn't always work. There are some things you can't think your way through. For those who are more cognitive, God love you. It's good to be able to use your intellect, and I believe that's all part of the human condition. But what about the feelings? What about the feelings? I did not write what I'm about to say because of anybody in here. It just happened to be in the stuff I was reading. It talks about a young man, a student who came to his professor complaining he had serious doubts about the reliability of Scripture. Okay, so he goes to his teacher. The professor counseled him. The teacher heard the Spirit say, let me say, if you ever want to be a counselor, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's good to have your degrees. I got a lot of those degrees out there, too. My best degree I have is my PhD, Power Over Hell and Damnation. Okay? This man, obviously, his counselor had his PhD. Hallelujah. And the Spirit said to him, this is not an intellectual doubt. It's an emotional one. The teacher explored with the young man the error of his feelings, and he confessed. You hear that word? He confessed. He admitted. Hallelujah. To the preacher, to the counselor, he could never remember a time in his life when he ever felt he was loved. Now, you may not be able to identify with that. I could. I remember being told when I got born again to love God. Well, with my temperament, with my personality, I can do that. I can make you feel loved. I can do that. But the one thing I never understood, Brother Tom, back then and until recently, there was a song that used to get sung in the church. It was a quiet little song, and it just says, I need to be still and let God love me. And we sing that verse over, need to be still and let God love me. For years, I would break down bawling every time I heard that song and couldn't figure out why. So one day, the Holy Spirit made it very clear to me. I did not believe. See, I was raised by a mama, God love her, and he does. She finally got saved. She was mentally ill. I was raised by a father, first year Italian, ex-military. And basically, I was told to do what to do, and I better do it. They weren't mean. I was loved. But to me, love meant I had to prove myself. I had to prove myself to you. I had to jump through hoops, and if you smiled at me, I felt loved. I could not understand that this wonderful... We're dying on the battery. I'm going to need a replacement here. This wonderful, loving God asked me, not what I did, not what I could perform, loved me. And when I finally accepted that, and it wasn't that many years ago, my whole relationship with God and God's people changed. When I could actually realize that God loved me, when I didn't doubt, God continued to love me. Hallelujah. With that young man, was counseled of how to accept love, when that young man was counseled and convinced he actually was loved, his doubt of the scriptures went away. Think about that. If the people in your life have lied to you and been unreliable, chances are you're going to look at the scripture and say, I can't believe that either. We become cynical based on our experiences. Hallelujah. When the young man dealt with his emotional issues, some of us have issues where we can't handle our emotions. There's too many of them. There's scientific terms for that, which we won't bring in here. But there are still folks who can't deal with it until we learn how. And next week I'm going to deal with our needs and how we have to have them met by God. When God meets those emotional needs, then we can receive God. Then we can believe God. Then we can have relationship with God. I'll just use an example. I'm a person who requires a lot of attention. I'm a high-maintenance human being. If I expected my wife to meet every need I have, she would have had to leave me a long time ago because I would have taken the life right out of her. We're not created to suck the life out of other people. We're created to hook into God, take all we need from Him. Our love, our acceptance, all those things must come from God. Turn quickly to the book of Acts chapter 1. We're going to end, I promise you. Where are we? Here we go. Acts chapter 1. We started this series last week talking about Thomas, so it was only fitting we end with Thomas. Acts chapter 1. Thomas is the one who said he wouldn't believe. I didn't see him. I wasn't here. You guys can believe that stuff if you want, not me. Unfortunately, the world has tagged him, titled him Doubting Thomas. Glory unto God. We've seen in Scripture already, it's impossible to please God without faith. Did we see that? Does that make sense? Y'all can say yes here. I'm not going to intimidate you. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Let me show you something in the book of Acts. Starting in verse number six of chapter number one. Jesus had come, presented himself twice. He's about to go back to the Father, setting the stage here, okay? And what we find here in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, going through 14, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel, and restore your kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power. Someone say power. Y'all heard this before. The word power there is dunamis. Dunamis is the word that we use for dynamite. We're not talking about a little puff in the breeze. We're talking about explosive power that can move mountains. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and look at this, to the ends of the earth. Let your mind expand. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Jesus Christ says, now you hang in there. I'm sending you the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will have power. Anybody want power with God? Anybody want power for God? I do. Hallelujah. Verse 10, as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into the heavens? Into the heaven? You check King James, it probably says the heavens. Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. I want you to read this next one with me. The next couple of verses. Thomas was a doubter. Thomas said, I got to see him. I got to have proof. He wouldn't accept the word. Here are the names of those who were present. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, Judas. Hallelujah. What's that name? Now, wait a minute. Thomas is the one that said he wouldn't believe. Thomas is the one who had doubt. Oh, he declared him to be God eventually. Even though there was doubt in Thomas, even though he carries that name for the rest of eternity, in the upper room, when it came time to give the Holy Spirit to those who believed, Thomas was amongst them. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Here's my question. At what point did Thomas the doubter become Thomas the doer? Reliable history says, that Thomas left that area and traveled more east. Ended up in a place called India. To this day, there's a church, a strong Christian presence in India. They actually call themselves Disciples of Thomas. I wouldn't like to choose that name. But from what I can ascertain through reading, that is the strongest group of believers in that entire area. Thomas, who doubted, received the love, direction, and proof he needed from God, and went on from there to create a whole bunch of Christians in a place that knew not Christianity. So, how could God do such a thing? Maybe because God doesn't see doubt the way we do. God just sees it as one more weakness that he can make strong. Up until the point where Thomas declared him to be God, people called him Jesus, Son of God. They called him Son of Man. No one had really declared him to be God. But through divine revelation, doubting Thomas told the world this. The one with the hand-printed the scars in his hands and this side, this one is God. Hallelujah. How can God possibly take a doubter like me and cause me to believe such things? Because he's God. And because I've made a decision to doubt my doubts and believe my beliefs. So I'm going to challenge you as we close here right now. You can bow your heads. I'm going to challenge you to know what you believe. Well, if you don't know yet, you may say, I only believe one thing. And keep believing that one thing. It'll grow into more. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that it's only possible to be saved from our sin through the blood of the Son of God. Be convinced and believe that God loves you, Jesus loves you, and sent the Holy Spirit to demonstrate that love to and through you. I'm not asking you to know the whole Bible. But I'm asking you to read it. And when you see those promises, God, I know they were for people 2,000 years ago, but do you understand it's for you today? Believe them. And as you realize what you believe, when the doubts come, oh, trust me, they'll come. They're coming to some people right now as you're sitting there. The doubt's waiting for you outside the door. Before you get home this afternoon, the devil will come along and try to steal your faith. Guaranteed. Hallelujah. But I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm charging you. Doubt your doubts. Believe your beliefs. Maintain a double-fisted hold of God. Hallelujah. Bible said there was a woman. She'd been sick all of her life. She spent every penny she had on doctors. But somehow, somewhere, she heard a commotion. And someone says, Jesus is in town. And she somehow made up her mind. She doubted her doubts. She said, I know what the doctors have said, and I know, I understand. They say I'm going to bleed to death and die. I doubt that, but I believe this man who has cleansed the lepers. I believe this man who rose Lazarus. I believe this man who caused the lame to walk. I believe if I can just touch him. He don't have to speak my name. If I can touch the hem of his garment. She believed that. And you know what, Brother Tony? She believed it so much, she had to push her way through the crowd. There was a whole bunch of people at that parade. They all wanted to see the miracle man. And I can't help but think, as she tried to push her way through, I think maybe they pushed her back a little bit. And she had a hard time getting through, but she persevered. She continued to believe until she got to the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says the instant she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, instantly, she stopped bleeding to death. Instantly, the hemorrhaging stopped. And Jesus knew he'd been touched. And he turned and acknowledged her. See, sometimes it takes perseverance. Sometimes it takes holding on. Sometimes it takes believing when it doesn't seem to be believable. But God has never lied. It's a habit he's never had and never will develop. If he says it, you can believe it. That should settle it. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, O God, that you love us in our strength, but you love us more in our weakness. We thank you, O God, when you see us doubting, with your strength we can become a doer. We thank you, O God, you can take the things that seem impossible to the world and bring them to pass in our lives. Hallelujah to God. Father, I pray today we would all learn to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, your apostle wrote and said that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything I shall think or ask. May I believe that promise today. No matter how bad it looks, you are able and willing to do it now. Hallelujah to God. Father, may we have a now faith. Not a faith of yesterday. Not a faith of a year from now. Lord, there are people in this room right now who are struggling. There's situations, there's monetary, there's health, there's emotional. Lord, I can feel them. Father, I speak that into their lives right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything you will think or ask. In Jesus' name, if you believe nothing else, believe that. If you believe nothing else from this sermon, believe that. God is able. But how? I don't know. But God is able. God owns all the cattle on the thousand hills. If he needs to sell a cow or two to get you through, it's what he's going to do. They're his cattle, his hills, and you're his child. Can we just raise our hands just for a moment? Keeping our eyes closed, just worship him. I'm not going to make a public thing here, but I just know there's some of us who are struggling with our faith. Father, I pray today you would redefine our faith and we believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Sing it with me. It's only one word. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Brother, all those in need of a miracle, raise your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak to that need. I ask the only one who can meet those needs to perform the miraculous now in Jesus' name. Father, in our bodies, in our minds, in our families, in our hopes, and in our dreams, I speak into existence miracles. Whatever it is you need from God, I speak it into existence now. Receive, using your faith in Him. Receive your miracle in Jesus' precious name. And when it comes to pass, I ask that you'll recognize it as the hand of God and you'll testify to somebody, I prayed and this is what God did. Father, we praise you. You are the God of miracles. You are the God of love. You're the God of all hope. Hallelujah. Lord, I prophesy health. I prophesy wealth. And I prophesy success over your people in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen and accept that? Can we all stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you can cut that, Tom. Hallelujah. I should have done this before, and I get so ready to preach the word, I forget. Next.